There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast has just got its very first sponsor. The podcast is now proudly sponsored by MerchMonster.ie. On MerchMonster.ie, you can buy personalised hoodies, T-shirts, polo shirts, personalised snood face coverings, and a whole lot more. They've even got a product personaliser over on their website. Go over there and check it out now. They deal in one-off orders and also in bulk orders, class hoodies, team and work polo shirts, and everything else in between. Go over there and check them out now. It's MerchMonster.ie. Now let's get back to this week's show.
Hello and welcome to episode 41 of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. My name is Michael McCarthy and we have a full lineup for you today. Myself and Marissa preview Tip versus Cork in the National Hurling League with Jamie Wall. Noel Dundon reviews this week's GAA coverage in the Tipperary Star. But first, I sit down with Anthony Shelley to look at Tip's first Football League game versus Limerick.
Okay, similar to the first round of the National Hurling League, the footballers take to the field for their first game next Saturday. They are away to Limerick in the Gaelic grounds, 5 p.m. on Saturday. I'm joined by PRO of the Tipperary Football Board, Anthony Shelley. You're welcome to the Premier View.
Thanks, Mike.
So, Anthony, as I said in the introduction there, we're off to Limerick on Saturday evening. Limerick is a team that we seem to struggle with and have done historically. In the past, they came up from Division 4 last year, gave us an awful fright in the Munster Championship last year. Are we going to expect a battle again this weekend?
I think so, Mike. Yeah, I think it's a game that both teams would prefer if they had a game or two under their belt before they actually meet each other, you know? Yeah. And Limerick, as you were saying, they've had our number underage now for quite a few years. And the old Premier View, Limerick won't fear Tip anyway, that's for sure. But it's a tricky game. 2019, they beat us by 7 or 8 points, like, you know, in Semple Stadium in the Championship, which was a huge win for them. But we probably went into that a little bit cocky, I'd say, a little bit underdone. We were looking ahead, but they followed it up last year, and it took Conor Sweeney, Morris Fitz style point to pull it out of the bag at the last minute, and then we went into, as they call it, compulsory overtime, and it was never talk until Brian Fox stepped up at the end with an unbelievable winner where he carried it, I suppose, 50 yards. And had the composure to put it over to get us into the Munster finals. So, big strong team. You know what you're going to get from them. They set up very defensively. They get a lot of men behind the ball, try to turn you over and break quickly. And we'll just have to be patient. I felt in the game last year we were getting turned over too easy because we were carrying the ball into trouble. We never had a man coming off the shoulder. We hesitated. We didn't take the shot when it was on. We're always looking for the extra pass, you know. And with a blanket defence, really only have two options. You go over them or you go around them, you know. Jack Kennedy probably not going to be available for this game. We'll miss his long range points, you know, and that takes the that takes one of the options of going over them out of it. So we just have to be patient, not commit too many men forward, and when the opportunity arises, that we don't try to take the extra over elaborate and take the extra pass, just pop it over when it's there. And you know, we also have to be tight to the back, which I thought we weren't last year. We committed too many men forward. So it's going to take a disciplined performance all around. It's not a game that I would be overly confident of. You know, we should be winning it, but I wouldn't be putting the house on it, as I said.
Yeah. So just looking forward, I suppose the team, we were, I suppose, pretty settled through a lot of the championship last year. Colin O'Riordan obviously came into it. Now, he didn't play against Limerick the first day he was back for the Munster final, but he's obviously not available. Liam Casey's not available, and the great Philip Austin has retired. So is there anyone that comes to mind? The panel was announced yesterday. There's a couple of new faces on it. Is there anyone that comes to mind that could step into that panel? We spoke on the podcast there a couple of weeks ago that Sweeney probably needs a lot more help on the scoring side of things, that we're over-reliant on him, you know.
Yeah.
Is there anyone that you could see putting their hand up and grabbing a starting spot?
There's a few, and I think probably one that will definitely put his hand up this year would be Paddy Feen. He's been there for a year or two now, coming on as sub, but with spaces becoming available, I would expect Paddy to put his hand up and grab maybe the wing back spot there for the season. He's a good player, he's tenacious, he's committed, he's good on the ball. You know, he's everything that you'd want. So, Paddy definitely put his hand up. A few others there too in the back line that, you know, have been there, they were there last year, Tony Fitzgerald, Jack Harney. Jack Harney in particular is a guy that I like. Probably underrated player, I would say, you know. And I expect to see him definitely get game time in the league. He's tenacious, he's hard in the tackle, he's good. Darragh Brennan, obviously, will push hard for a spot on the wing in the half back line as well. Darragh's been on and off there for the last couple of years. Any injury to Kevin Fahey would look like the obvious replacement there, or even at wing back as well. I suppose the most eye catching it a lot, the one that the most talk will be about is our Dublin import, Philip Ryan. I think, yeah, might as well. We're not breaking any rules by bringing him in. So his family are very much a Tipperary family. They'd be originally from Creaney up near Kilcommon. His uncle Dinny would have been on the All-Ireland winning team of 71, I think it was. I think he got what ultimately turned out to be the winning goal in that. His other uncle Matty, I suppose, is more famous for serving as a county councillor in Tipperary for the boys of 25 years. So, the Ryan Cools, as they're called.
Yeah.
They have a long history.
Yeah, obviously, I was going to get to Philip. That was probably a name that took a lot of people by surprise when the panel announced yesterday. What is his back? He's obviously been on the Dublin.
He plays senior football at St. Bridget's. He's been on was the star of an under 21 All Ireland winning team back around 2012, I think it was, or 2013. Mm-hmm. I think he got 2-4, 2-5 in the semi final that year, you know, and that got him promoted for 2014 and 15. He was on the panel, he was on the extended panel, he was a sub, he was getting games and league games and stuff like that, I think it was in 2015, he was actually in the All-Ireland semi-final, he was ready to come on as a sub in that game, togged out, ready to go, the numbers written up, the whole lot, and there was an injury in the back line, so they had to change of tactic, and he wasn't brought on that, and then lost out maybe to bit of nepotism or whatever, lost out his place in the panel to Cormac Costello for the final. So, yeah. You know, then he stepped away from it at that. And I know that, you know, lads were saying Paddy Christie might have been involved, but I know David has been chasing him for a while. And he decided, you know, he's working from home, work was allowing it this year, you know. Just the way his situation is. And he said, he'd give it a go. So
it sounds like a very exciting addition to the
panel. And he will be, you were talking about, he'd be known in Dublin as a scorer, you know, a sweet left foot. I even see Bernard Brogan tweeting last night that he's a fine player, like, in a good addition to Pip. So, yeah, that's probably good enough for me, you know.
Yeah, another name that sticks out to me, and he's obviously a very young man, is Paddy Creedon. He had a great underage career. I've seen him play both hurling and football, and is excellent at both. He's on the panel. He's just, I suppose, out of his 18th year. He's 19, I think, this year. He's another guy. He's a big, strong guy, and the training with the seniors will certainly help his development.
Yeah, I think in Paddy's case, he's only 19 years of age. It might take him a year or two to actually get up to the pace of senior. He was an excellent underage player, but you know, I suppose the advantage, his strength underage was his strength, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
That, but now at senior level, the lads will be as strong as him. So he probably needs a year or two. I don't know if we'd see too much of Paddy this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's definitely one for the future. He's only 19 years of age.
Yeah.
Year or two in their training with them. You know, his lack of club football. The only football he's going to get really is in with Tip, you know. And lack of club football might be a hindrance going forward, you know.
And what's his position then? I think, and then Sean O'Connor possibly is in the same boat, is that with the 20s. The 20s are back training this week as well, under the same management. But that new rule that came in, will being part of the senior panel rule them out of the 20s, or do you actually have to play championship to be ruled?
I think you have to play. I'm not 100% sure, but I heard before that you actually have to play, you know.
Yeah, so they'd be huge additions to the 20s. And another name that's, I suppose, it's one that you people mightn't recognise is Cuba Bebben, who is from your own club and has been the 20 keeper, I think, for the last 2 years and was for the Brackens there for the last couple of years. He's a fine keeper. I've seen him in action too. So he will put it up to Evan and Michael O'Reilly for the backup spot, especially.
Cuba is top class. You know, technically, he's probably one of the better keepers that we have in there. Technically, like, he's really top class. Where Cuba, a bit like Paddy, will probably need a little bit more experience. He wouldn't have a lot of GA played. He was underage soccer with Limerick and stuff like that. So he's, you know, you can nearly count on two hands the amount of GA games Cuba has played.
Yeah.
But I would see him pushing hard for the bench this year. But, you know, next year, I'd say the two boys, Evan and Michael, would be looking over their shoulder at him. He's top class, you know.
Yeah. Very good. So, yeah, look, there's a good strong panel there.
Yeah, Conor Bowe there as well, don't forget now. Conor Bowe is a guy that I would imagine will see game time during the league. He's a good, direct, excellent young player.
Yeah.
He's already physically ready for it, like, you know, and works hard, not afraid, very, very direct, not afraid to have a shot, which, you know, I'd say you'll see game time in him in the league as well, like, you know.
Very good. So just on the league, we're in Division 3 South. What is the goal for the league, do you think, for David and the panel? Is it to consolidate in Division 3, or is promotion the goal?
Oh, God, I'd say promotion would have to be the goal, you know, particularly the way like the league is set up this year with North and South, you know. To my mind, I would say that the northern half of the draw is the tougher half. Who's there? Cavan and Derry and Fermanagh and Longford. Mm-hmm. No. If Tip have any ambitions going forward, you know, they would have to be looking at finishing in the top two in a group with Limerick, who are just up from Division 4, Wicklow up from Division 4, and Offaly. Now, all tricky games, funny enough, all tricky games. We spoke about Limerick and how they have had our measure. You know, they're quickly becoming our bogey team, like, you know, in football. But Wicklow are coming into it. I don't know a whole pile about them. But they topped Division 4 last year with the same number of points as Limerick. Far superior score difference. I think Limerick finished on a zero score difference, where Wicklow finished on plus 39. They have Davy Burke from Kildare is managing them. He's in 32 or 33, but you know already he has a CV behind him that you know he was over Kildare under 20s for 1 year to win the All Ireland. He was over his own club Sarsfields for a year to win the county final, and he was 1 year with Wicklow and he hasn't promoted. So they're an unknown quantity. I'd be glad that we have them at home. You know, in Hurlis, you say you should be beating them because there is a big step up from Division 4 to Division 3. But, you know, to me, to come in as an unknown quantity and a potential banana skin. And the same with Offaly under John Mahon there. You know, they took us to the wire last year in the league as well. Like, you know, and you'd be glad, like we won by 3 or 4 points at the end, but they're well organised, probably a bit weak at the back, but they have good forwards. And we're away to them in the last game, and it might be a game you need to win to secure your place in the top two. And you know, what's that stat? 70% of league games are won by the home team, or very close to it anyway. And two of our three games are away. So, you know, while I'd be very disappointed if we didn't finish in the top two and get a semi-final spot. I'm not even sure there will be a league final this year. I'd say they might call a halt to it once they have the promotion sorted, promotion and relegation sorted. But
yeah. How does one get promoted out of Division 3 then this year? Is it merely
you finish in the top two, the semi-finals. So if you finish top of your group in the south, you'll play second place from the north in the semi-final, and if you finish second, obviously you'll finish top, or you play top from the north, and then it'll go on to a league final. But the two teams in the league final will be actually promoted.
So the two teams in the league
final. There's relegation in it as well, like, you know. Which, same team, you know, just in reverse. So, you really need to be winning. There's not much room for mess up. Like, you need to be winning your three games and not depending on other results. And we have a lot to work on, like, you know. I would see kickouts for us has been absolutely huge this year, you know. I think everyone would agree we're a far better team when we're on the ball than when we don't have the ball, like, you know. When we're driving forward on the ball, you know, we were nearly called the saviours of Gaelic football there a couple of years ago under Liam Kearns. But that's what we're good at. If you take last year our kickouts, and not just last year, for a couple of years now, kickouts have been overcomplicated, very predictable, and we're losing too high a percentage of them. Like, you know, I mean, I think it was in the Limerick game last year, wasn't it? Yeah, the Limerick game last year, like, there was 43 kickouts in the game, and we, you know, that's potentially 43 opportunities to score, you know, and we only won 17 of them, you know. And that's what put us in trouble straight away. You're on the back foot all the time. You're presenting opportunities for the other team to do it. We need to speed up the kickout. Would be one thing I would be looking for this year. You know, every kickout seems to be a performance, and so, you know, unstructured kickouts, get the ball out to the 21 quick. There's a lad on, give it to him, and away we go. You know, but. And get after the opposition kick out as well. If we don't do that, we're going to struggle. We are going to struggle to get out of Division 3. Something that both on our own kick out, where, you know, control the controllables, you can control that, you know. Get after the opposition kick out. If we break 50-50 against these three teams on kick outs and have that amount of possession, you know, we could be okay. But if we don't, we're going to make it hard for ourselves.
Yeah, and you alluded to the fact that maybe we were a bit open at the back last year. And as you said, we're probably a lot better on the ball than we are without the ball. But do you expect to see more, I suppose, Paddy Christie is in, he's a defender by trade. Would you expect to see more of a Paddy Christie influence on our game plan, or is our game plan get on the ball and drive forward?
I think our game plan will be get on the ball and drive forward. I mean, we're already pulling back somebody. You know, it's generally Brian Fox generally does that all. I expect Brian to be doing it again this year, you know. And that would be it. But I don't think we're the sort of team that's going to win too many of the 50-50 battles. So we've got to try cut to supply from, say, in the Limerick case, from the Limerick midfield into their forward line. Right, so you've got to put the pressure on there. So I'd like to see us applying it when we don't have the ball, applying the pressure higher up the field rather than trying to get everybody back behind the ball. Right, so I wouldn't like to see us going back to 12 men behind the ball. I think we need four forwards up at all times, you know.
Yeah, and just I suppose before we finish up, looking further into the year, by virtue of winning that Munster final back in November, we're automatically in the semi final, and that pits us against the winners of Kerry and Clare. What was your initial reaction when that draw was made?
You know, you're always going to get Kerry or Cork, and I suppose, you know, Cork will be delighted that they've avoided us and Kerry. So you would presume that we're going to be playing Kerry. You know, you would declare a good team, but you would presume to be going to be playing Kerry. I suppose this year is different, that we're going in as Munster champions, you know. For years there, you'd nearly be apologising for turning up in the same field as Kerry, you know. But this year, we'll be going in as Munster champions, which would be unusual for us. It'll be interesting. And I think the challenge for us this year is nearly mental rather than anything else. Like, I mean, it's very easy to sit back as a Tipperary footballer. I suppose Molson's never thought that we'd ever see us win a Munster final. The Munster final was the Holy Grail, like, you know. And the thing is, are you happy with that? Is that going to be it? Or do you want to move forward? If you want to move forward, well, you've got to do two things this year. One is get promotion from Division 3. And if you do that, then you can go into that Kerry game as confidence that you're now a Division 2 side, but also Munster champions as a Division 2. It'll be a tall ask, no doubt about it. But not an impossible one. Not an impossible one. But, you know, I suppose the bookmakers, those connoisseurs of reality, will have Kerry as strong favourites. And rightly so. But, I mean, it wouldn't be the biggest surprise ever that if we did turn them over, albeit a big surprise, not the biggest surprise ever, it wouldn't be the surprise that it would have been 5 years ago, say.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. So the game is on, our first game of the season is 5 p.m. in Gaelic Grounds this Saturday the 15th. And Anthony, you might come back to us in a week's time. We might have a look back on the game. And thanks for coming on the Premier View.
Yeah, no problem, Michael. Thank you.
It's merchmonster.ie.
Wednesday is release day for the three local papers in Tip. This week, I got to talk to Noel Dundon of TipperaryLive.ie about the GA coverage in this week's Tip Stair.
Noel, today's Stair came out, or the Stair came out today, Wednesday as usual. I'm going to jump in to just inside the back page. You have a report on the paper from, or a report on the match from last weekend against Limerick. You say in it about Tip having a real hunger and appetite. Is that something that you see as being different from last year?
I'm not sure that it's something that you'd see as being different from last year. I mean, you, the same hunger was probably there, but I just thought, looking at Tip on Saturday when they came out on the field before ever a ball was poked, and, you know, even looking at Liam Sheedy, there was a spring in the step and they were mad to get back. And I think just as the game went on, you could see that desire was really there. I think Tip went down to try and prove a point to Limerick that they were going to try and stand up to them physically and all that, and to try and outwork them if they could, and that sort of manifests itself in hunger and in desire, you know, and that was pretty evident, I thought, on Saturday with Tip. but it was definitely driven by the sideline. I mean, Liam Sheedy was really up for that game. You know, you could see it.
Yeah, just on the bottom of that page, actually, there's a you're quoting Sheedy there. It's a game of four quarters. I suppose that brings me to the water break. Tip obviously didn't start great, but maybe the water break came and they had a better second quarter, and that's Liam Sheedy's words. And then the third quarter, as he calls it, was another good one for them before Limerick thundered back into it in the fourth quarter. Is the water break something that we're going to see again having an influence on games?
I suppose it is. Probably this time last year, nobody would have really thought that a water break would have as big an impact on a game as it had during last season. Certainly, teams who had started well or just before the break lost momentum a little bit. We saw it time and time again, and I don't see a change in this year. I think it'll be the same thing, that it'll break momentum for a team that's moving well at the particular time. And the flip side of that kind is that if a team isn't moving so well, it gives them the opportunity to regroup. You know, if you had to go to, let's say, half time and the momentum was against you, you could be quite a distance behind if scores were going against you by the time half time would come. But with the water break, it gives you that chance just to reset and to sort of recalibrate your team and decide what you need to do in order to stem that flow. So I think yeah, the water break is going to have a big impact again. Is it necessary? I'm not sure that it is, being honest. Like the argument being made last year was that, teams are coming back into height of summer and all that kind of crack with a club level, and it sort of moved on then into inter-county level. But don't know, the league players, do they need water as often as that?
Yeah, I think probably a lot of it is to stop the people running onto the field. I suppose that's what they're trying to negate. But it does seem a very, I suppose, Americanized thing to have quarters and play it in 15-minute quarters, so to speak. In your report, Tip are obviously up 19 points to 14 and then emptied the bench, bringing on players of the calibre of Keane Lynch, Garrod Hegarty and Peter Casey. They needed those guys to come on and bring them back into the game.
They did, and I suppose that's an indication of Limerick's mindset too. They didn't want to lose this game either, you know, particularly in their own backyard. And they brought in the big guns. I suppose, you know, Peter Casey in particular, he got 2 points when he came in, but Keane Lynch got onto a nice bit of ball too around the middle of the field. And, you know, Tip were tiring. You could see that they were visibly tiring. And we made a few changes ourselves to try and re-energize that sector in particular. Like there was a for maybe a 10-minute period before the end of the game where any ball that was being cleared out of the Tip backline, it was like it was coming off a wall. It was just coming straight back on top of them, you know. And we needed to get guys there who could just get a hand on the ball. And luckily enough, it happened. I think it was Mark Yoting got a ball and won it free, which actually turned out to be the free to put us in front with Jason Ford pointing, and then Limerick had to come and level at the very end. But yeah, it was just a thing that you could see it in Limerick on the sideline. You could hear it in the stand. You know, Limerick didn't want to lose this, and they were getting fairly incensed over some of the refereeing decisions as well. Mm-hmm. And they were very vocal, you know, but they didn't want to lose it, and you couldn't blame them. We didn't want to lose it either, you know.
Yeah. I suppose, look, we had good performances from Jason Ford, obviously, on the frees and in his general play, Dan McCormack. Probably those two were vying it out for man of the match. But you picked out two young guys there as playing very well, Brian O'Mara from Holy Cross and Brian McGrath from Loughmore, the youngest of the McGrath brothers. He had a difficult start, I suppose, and probably struggled for a lot of it with Flanagan, who is a great operator. But as you pointed out, it was probably the quality of the ball coming in more so than Flanagan's play. Were you impressed with McGrath over the 70 minutes?
Yeah, I thought Brian McGrath had a lovely game for Tip, to be honest. As you say, it was the quality of the ball coming into Seamus Flanagan that caused him the problem. And that was resulting from the difficulties Tip were having further out the field, where the Limerick defenders and maybe midfield to a certain extent, they're actually able to look up and see what they wanted to do and put this brilliant ball across in front of them. And no defender would be able to deal with it. You know, it's very, very difficult to deal with that kind of quality ball coming in. But once Tipperary sorted that out, and once the playing field was leveled that little bit, Brian McGrath came into his own. In fact, he got out a number of times. He got out ahead of Seamus Flanagan, was able to read the play and got out ahead of him and cut off the supply, which was really good. It shows a really sort of positive mindset from him, you know, that he wasn't afraid to take the step in front. And I think that's something that we would have seen from him quite often at club level, you know, when we would see him playing with Loughmore Castellani, in both codes, actually, in both hurling and football. And also with the Tip Minors and 21s in recent years as well, you know. He's a very, very clever hurler, very, very solid hurler. And he seems to have developed physically as well. So, you know, I think Brian will have probably an important couple of weeks ahead to see how he's going to continue, because the Cork Challenge on Saturday night would be a different type of one. There'd be different type of players there. It could be Pat Horgan. It could be anybody, really, with the way the modern game is. So there'd be all different types of challenges for Brian and for the rest of them. And as you mentioned, the other Brian, Brian McGrath, Brian O'Mara, they spell their names differently. One is B-R-I-A-N and the other is B-R-Y-A-N. The B-R-Y-A-N is unfortunate. A bad break on the hand. It's going to cost him between 4 and 6 weeks. And again, I thought Brian had a lovely game for Tip. I thought he was a very, very strong presence in the half back line there. Again, has developed physically. These guys have undertaken phenomenal work during the lockdown. That's pretty obvious, you know. It's a pity for him, but I just kind of get the feeling that he has probably done enough even to put himself into a sort of championship reckoning, right? He's going to miss out on the rest of the league games, but you'll find that when it comes to the internal games that they'll play, and Brian will be able to partake in those later on, he'll be right up there, I think, you know.
Yeah, and defenders is probably something that we probably need. I mean, with the retirement of Sean O'Brien, there's a cornerback spot probably up for grabs. Again, I suppose just going back to what everyone else is saying about Paddy Maher is the wrong side of 30, and that's the position that Brian O'Mara probably feels most comfortable in, is that number 7 shirt. He looked like a ready-made replacement, especially with the way he was developing. So we wish him all the best in his recovery and hope to see him in the championship. On the same page then, Noel, the view there, it speaks about, do Tip have the belief to compete with Limerick was in championship, and also points out that the attitude was right, as you already alluded to there earlier on. So do you think Tip have that belief, or did we ever not have that belief and it just weren't good enough last year?
Yeah, I suppose when you talk about belief, I think the belief would always have been there within the panel. It has more to do maybe with the county rather than the actual panel of players, you know. And even, you know, Ger O'Grady, former Tip captain, alluded to that during last week in the run-up to the Limerick game. He said in an interview that he wasn't too impressed with the kind of vibes that are coming from around the county from supporters and that. So I think the belief would always be there within the panel, or a certain amount of it anyway. And when you're getting positive results and positive performances, that belief grows and grows. Any team that Liam Sheedy would be over, I think he would be instilling them with confidence. And Eamon O'Shea as well. And, you know, to be fair, Darry Egan and Owen Kelly too. But I suppose the two guys get the lion's share of the credit when it comes to these things. But, you know, they would be instilling that team with belief. And really, you know, you kind of say to yourself, do we really need to instill a team with belief, a team that had won the All-Ireland just 2 years ago, you know? They showed what they could do then. Right, as you say, the years have moved on for a few guys, but there's plenty of talent coming through behind, you know? So I think the belief is there in the panel, and it's probably a case of the county getting behind them again now. Everybody is saying Limerick are awesome and Limerick are this, and they're going to be very difficult to beat and all that type of thing, you know. But there's a few other counties in this championship besides Limerick too, you know. Yeah. That they'll be believing as well, you know.
Yeah, just on Sheedy, obviously Sheedy leads from the front and always has. Do you think he was stung, I suppose, a little bit last year by some of the criticism that came Tip's way? And is that why he is so animated, or is that just his way anyway?
Possibly a little bit of both. You know, it's probably his way. You know, he's a driven man, and when he's on the sideline, he certainly wants to drive the team on and all that. The criticism of last year, you know, I'd be giving him a pass on last year, really, with the way things worked out. Like the club championship took an enormous amount out of players, and in particular the guys who went all the way to the county championship, and in particular Loughmore Castellani with the McGraths and John Maher, you know, being in both county finals and was it 13 weeks or something they went weekends
weekends
playing games. That's a huge, that takes a huge toll, mental and physical, and then to lose the two of them as well, you know, which was a real downer for them. But you know, I think like it was a very, very difficult year last year. I also kind of felt from very early in the year, once we knew what the structure was going to be, I always felt that Tipperary might struggle. And it's not been as a prophet in hindsight, I wrote it earlier on in the year. I thought that we might struggle with the winter conditions, that we would much prefer summertime conditions, you know. Now, other counties would as well. There's no doubt about that, but with the kind of game that we play in Tipperary, we probably would have preferred, and God almighty, when you saw the day that Tip played Limerick down in Corky Cueve, oh, sure, it was a monsoon, you know.
For sure.
So, like, you know, I think we have a lot going for us this year, and I would hope that the confidence levels will be sky high by the time championship comes around, and that'll only happen by positive performances in the league. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to win all your league matches, because you're going to be trying out players and that too, and you have to give guys a chance to see what they'll do. But there's a difference between losing a game, or a difference between winning a game and getting a positive result.
No, absolutely. Performance is a lot to do with Hurling and football in the league. So just the back page then of the Stair is looking forward to this weekend. So there's three Tip teams out. We have Cork, as you say, on the double with the Camogie at 2 o'clock on Saturday. We play Cork in Hurling at 7:30 on Saturday, and we have football against Limerick in the Gaelic grounds at 5 o'clock. Within that piece, Sheedy again compliments the physical condition of the players. They obviously put in a lot of work over the lockdown.
Yeah, and it'll be the same as well for the footballers and for the Camogie girls as well. You know, you'll really be shown up now at this level, at the elite level, and you know, at club level too. Actually, you'll really be shown up if you haven't been doing the work. In Tipperary, they certainly did. I mean, all of the players had their own individual programs, and they were being monitored every step of the way. They were all wearing these GPS tracker vests, which showed exactly what stats they were hitting and all that. So, I mean, you can't really hide unless you put it on somebody else, you know.
Put it on the dog and let him run around with it.
Yeah, you know. So the players have really, really worked hard to get to this stage. Now, you know, you'll probably see on Saturday afternoon with the football that you know, guys will be a little bit rusty because they won't have had too much football. They maybe have had about 2 weeks of actual football games and training and all that. And the same with the Camogie girls as well, you know. Very difficult to go and play a game when you've only had a fortnight of collective training or whatever. But that's the situation for every county at the moment. So just like last Saturday, you'll make allowances for any little bit of rustiness that might be there.
Yeah. Same page, you speak to Conor Sweeney there. He points out that Tip will have a target on their back this year after winning the first Munster title in 85 years. And he talks about building momentum through the league. Is promotion a goal, do you think, for the footballers for this league? Or is, as Conor says, building momentum and just getting the performances and getting guys to peak for championship?
Well, they probably go hand in glove, I suppose, really, you know. Promotion, I think, has to be an aim for them because they are the immediate games in front of them right now, you know. And obviously, if you can gain promotion or win a significant portion of your games, well, then you're putting yourself in a very positive place for championship, whoever they'll meet. You know, Clare, Kerry, we suspect it would be Kerry, but you never know. So you have to be right mentally for the challenge, no matter who it is. But like, I think David Power and the management team and the players will have looked at last year, and they'll have seen how the momentum gained after the lockdown ended with those league games leading into championship. That definitely helped them. You know, they went on a run of wins, which culminated in winning the Munster Championship, as you say, for the first time in 85 years. That gives a lot of confidence. And, you know, winning is a habit. And if you can get into it, it's great to be able to help you to create that belief in yourself and in the guys that are standing up beside you as well. So I think it's probably a little bit of both in what you're saying. They'll want to create that momentum. And in creating that momentum, the hope would be that they would end up in Division 2 next year.
Yeah, I think that obviously is the goal. As I said earlier, there's quite a lot of GA coverage in the paper this week, starting at page 58, going right through to 64. On page 61, you're talking to David Power, or there's an interview with David Power, and he also talks about the strength and conditioning work that went into the players over lockdown. And then he also speaks about respecting the government guidelines. Now, I don't know, is that a dart at some counties that didn't respect the government guidelines? But it was obviously very hard, especially for players that want to play at an elite level, and our players are playing at that level, but to not be able to train collectively over, it must have been very hard for them, working on their own through Zoom and on GBS plans and stuff like that.
Yeah, it had to be, and like, you know, anybody who has been doing it for the last year and a half, or, you know, 18 months or thereabouts, on and off because of the different breaks, you know, they'll tell you that it can be soul destroying going out on your own and trying to run, basically, and do your gym sessions, get those in. You're doing them on your own, and you don't have somebody to beside you to drive you on. Or to measure yourself against, you know. Now, they were able to go in smaller groups at one stage where, you know, maybe a couple of lads could get together and just train together just for company, and that was fine. But there's nothing like being in the panel and being in camp with the group, because that's where you really, well, look, you're having a bit of crack as well. Let's face it. You're having a bit of crack and a bit of fun. There's a bit of banter going on, and ultimately, I suppose that's why everybody plays the game, is for that little bit of fun or whatever. But I, you know, you'd have to say hats off to all the players across the country, club and county players, because it hasn't been easy for them. It has probably been the most challenging time of all for players to keep themselves right mentally and physically. And the expectation was that when they would come back into camp, that they would have a very, very high level of fitness. So that put a lot of responsibility back on the players as well. And it meant that there had to be a lot of buy-in on their part. I think they've done that at both club and county level. You know, in the last couple of days, they were seeing the club teams coming back, and they're so enthusiastic for it and so mad to get out there. And now the next step is they want to be playing matches, you know. So roll on the matches too, because you know, you can train for 6 months, but you play one match and you'll find out how sore you are after, you know.
Exactly. On the same page, sticking with the footballers, there's an interview with Kevin Fahey. Kevin had a great year last year and was probably one of the better players on the field, if not the best player on the field in that Munster title. But he goes back to 2016 and how he played the league and then went traveling for the championship. But since he's come back, he hasn't missed a game since. He really is a stalwart of that team now, a real important member, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really driving it on there, you know, and like you said, that his performance in the Munster final last year on you know, a major stage for Tipperary was phenomenal, up and down the field, and showed a real maturity for, you know, for a guy who hadn't played in major games. You know, none of the Tip guys had, really, I suppose a few enough of them, but they showed a real maturity on the field. And, you know, even when it came to making the decision to come off because he was on the yellow card and had been warned and all that, like, that shows a real maturity in his thinking as well as in his play. But yeah, Kevin is a he's one of the driving force of that team. In lots of ways, you know, Peter Acheson had been regarded as being one of the main driving forces of the team for a long time. And Kevin kind of took on that role, you know, or has taken it on in recent times. Brian Fox would have been another one, of course, you know. But Kevin has kind of taken on that role where he gets a ball, he drives at a team. Robbie Kiley would be another in a similar kind of vein. Kevin has that knack of being able to get up the field and nick a score or two, which is great, you know. So you'd be hoping that there'll be a good season ahead for Kevin as well and for the footballers.
Yeah, and just in David Power's interview, he talks about the league, and we have Wicklow at home and then Offaly and Limerick away. We're in Limerick this weekend. It's always a tough place to go for us in football. We struggle against them. Even last year in the championship, we had that game where Conor Sweeney needed the worldie to level it. But like Limerick at the time were a Division 4 team, and we were considering ourselves to be higher up the pecking order. But they always give us lots of trouble, don't they, Limerick?
They always do. They're a difficult team to beat. They've made themselves very difficult to beat, and they have a very forward-thinking coach in Billy Lee as well. You know, they're a kind of I suppose you know, they regard them, last year they're Division 4, this year they're Division 3, obviously, and we would kind of hope to be regarding ourselves as a Division 2 team, so we're kind of keeping a little step ahead of them all the time. But the year before last in the championship, Limerick turned us over, you know, and
7 or 8 points, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, they did, like, you know, and Tipperary were struggling big time in last year's game as well, down quite a few points at half time. And as you mentioned, that score from Conor Sweeney, that fantastic point from the sideline, was incredible, you know, to level it. We actually thought we'd won that game as well, because there was another effort from the far wing, which everybody thought was gone over the bar, and it hadn't. So we went into extra time, and we managed to get out of it in extra time, and the rest is history. Limerick were very disappointed after that game. You know, they maybe would have seen themselves as going on in the championship, and who knows, maybe they would have turned over Cork, but they didn't get the chance. But they've been smart since then, and they might get a slap at us now on Sunday or Saturday, I can tell you, you know.
Yeah, that's for sure. So page 60 of the paper has GA notes from a couple of clubs around the county: Loughmore and Templederry, Moneygall, Killaron and Nina. And then just page 59, then we're looking at the Camogie. The Camogie girls, obviously, they're back out. There's been some, I suppose, consternation over the last while with regards to the formatting of their championships and that. There was talk maybe that their games weren't going to go ahead this weekend, but there seems to be a reprieve. So we play Cork. Cork are one of the top Camogie teams. We were probably very disappointed not to being able to play that league last year, the league final last year, which would have been played up in Croke Park. But we were knocked out at semi-final stage. The girls, do they have the capability to go that one step further and get to the final, do you think?
I think every year this team has improved over the last number of years. They've come on a step or two, and looking at them last year in the semi or quarterfinal was down in Parkyqueeve, you could kind of see that they lacked a little bit of physicality. You know, that they were a step or two behind the other teams in terms of strength and conditioning. They've obviously been working on that over the course of the winter as well, and you'd hope that you know that they will have improved in that sense. I'm sure they will. Can they take the step on ahead? I think they can. You know, they have a couple of injuries have cleared up now. Of course, Orla Dwyer is missing for them at the minute, and Ashley Maloney is opting for football. So that's there a couple of losses for them. But you know, I think Bill Mullaney will be probably happy enough that he's had a squad. He now has one squad, because they've separated. The intermediates are under the stewardship of Keane Tracy now, and Bill Mullaney has had a panel of 40 or thereabouts to work with. So you know, that probably gives him a little bit of an edge as well, in that all those girls would be driving each other on, with the sole purpose of making that senior team, rather than there being an eye on the intermediate team as well behind them, you know. So I think they can make that step with a little bit of luck, and who knows what can happen, you know.
Yeah. So we had three All-Stars last year: Anya Slattery, Mary Ryan and Karen Kindy. Karen Kindy is really turning into a quality camogie player. She's a real star for the future, isn't she?
She is. She's a star for the present, even, you know. And I suppose like she was unfortunate there a couple of seasons ago. She tore her cruciate, and it took her a while to get back. But I mean, she's a real athlete. Karen is a real athlete, and she has good presence on the field. A lady with real hunger and desire as well. She wants to get on the ball all the time, and Bill Mullaney and his management team probably have a little bit of a dilemma there. You know, do they play her at centre back, where she won her All Star, or do they leave her at centre field, where she can be up and down the field and have a far more of an influence on the game? You know, we'll get some kind of an indication as to their thinking when they name the team on probably on Friday evening. You know. I can see the dilemma. If you pick Karen at centre back, she has to sit there. If you play her at midfield, she can get up and down. She has the fitness to do that, and she's well able to get a score for you as well. And she got a goal and a couple of points throughout last year's championship, and they're vital because, you know, Cait Devan has been the main score getter for that team, really. You know, so assistance will be needed in the scoring stakes as well. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned Bill Mullaney as manager again this year. He brought in Angelo Walsh and Dennis Kelly into that backroom team. Two guys who have had so much experience and success in their management career so far. They'll be a big boost to that backroom team as well, won't they?
They will. And, you know, maybe Bill identified the need to have guys who are specialists in strength and conditioning, and I'm speaking about Angelo there, I suppose, really. Yeah. Dennis would have vast experience of training teams as well and coaching teams. But Angelo, the work that Angelo Walsh did with Boris Lee when they won the county and Munster club championships and got to the All-Ireland club final as well, you know, they were in peak physical condition. And you'd hope that the same would be true of the Camogie girls, and I've no doubt that it will. You're bringing good guys onto the sideline, and when you have that, you always have a little bit of an advantage. The girls will certainly look up to these guys and respect them, and that's all you want, you know.
Yeah. We spoke about the intermediates there. The Camogie Association probably is getting a bit of stick, but it was great to see them bring back in the intermediates into playing this year, having missed out on 2020. We won the league in 2019, and we've seen some girls, Shauna Quirk, Andrea Lochnan, Claire Stapleton, Sarah Delaney, they made that step up. It's important to have a good quality intermediate team to put the pressure on that senior team, isn't it?
Well, it's important from two points of view, I suppose. It's important that girls who aren't going to make the senior squad have a platform to show what they can do, because, you know, you could be playing with a club that wouldn't be very prominent. And if you don't have a county platform to maybe, you know, hold your hand up so that Bill Mullaney can see what you're doing with the intermediates, or that, you know, somebody can say to him, God, you know, Mary Dwyer played really well for the intermediates there. You should be having a look at her for the senior team or whatever, you know. So that's important. But also then from the club perspective, it gives players that incentive to not that you shouldn't really need incentive, but to really try and shine at club level so that you can get onto that intermediate panel. If you're not making the senior panel, use the intermediate panel as a stepping stone to getting onto the senior panel. I think that's what Keane Tracy would be doing as well. You know, former minor manager, he would have been looking at a lot of the girls that went through his hands back in those days, along with, I think it was John Nillis was involved with him, and they'd be trying to move those on through the intermediate panel and on to the senior panel. That's the ultimate aim of any second string manager, if you want to call him that, is to progress your players so that they can develop and move on to get into the senior panel, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So the GA coverage in the snare is rounded out. If you're like me, you read it from the back to the front, is rounded out with the Tipperary GA scene from Tipperary PRO Jonathan Cullen, with lots of information in that. Noel Dundon, it was a pleasure to have you on the Premier View. Thanks very much for your local paper review.
Delighted to. Thank you very much.
It's merchmonster.ie.
Okay, so looking ahead to next weekend, our old rivals Cork come to the stadium on Saturday evening at 7:30. We're delighted to be joined on the Premier View by Jamie Wall. Very welcome, Jamie.
Thanks for having me, lads. Yeah.
So, Jamie, look, before we go on to the tip game, Cork put up a great score, 5-22 against Waterford last weekend. Were Cork very good, or did Waterford fall apart in the last 5 minutes?
Yeah, I think Cork were good, in fairness. They were good for most of the game, from what I saw. I was doing the sideline analysis for TG Carr, so I had a nice up-close and personal view of it. Maybe I was a little bit too close to see it, you know, in the grand scheme of things. I could only see what was directly in front of me, but... they did look impressive, yeah. I think the scoreline, even Cork management and Cork players and Cork people would say the scoreline probably flattered Cork a small bit. There was just that 5 minute spell where, you know, Waterford kind of collapsed a small bit and conceded conceded three goals in a matter of minutes. Right before that Kingston goal, I think there was 2 points in it, I think at one point, so I think that's probably a fair reflection of the pattern of the game. But that being said, Cork did lead for the whole game, and they probably were the better team for the whole game. But I don't think the gap is as wide, or even that there might not even be a gap between Cork and Waterford in that direction. I think, you know, there was a massive degree of first day out for everyone. You saw that over the whole weekend, and you know, there was a lot of shadow boxing, a lot of kind of, you know, things like that going on. From a Cork perspective, one big positive, I think, was the subs that were made just as Cork were wilting. You know, their work rate in the forward line was very, very good. And then they looked visibly tired as Waterford kind of made that bit of a comeback. And then they brought on Shane Kingston, Alan Connolly, who both had huge impacts, Alan Cadigan as well. So, you know, I think the impact off the bench was something that'll be very important to Cork, I think. You know, like in terms of... Look, I don't think any manager really gives too much of a damn about the results right now. I think if you look at what the Cork need to build based on last year versus Limerick, what does everyone need to build? They need to build a panel, you know, especially if you're going to be in a championship that's going to be run off a small bit quicker. So I think that's something that Cork would be quite happy with, that they're moving towards that little bit more depth. And obviously, you know, but yeah, look, like, so it's in a roundabout way, I don't think the gap was a fair reflection. I think it was just a case of first day out, and you know, a couple of things went quite well for Cork, especially at that pivotal moment.
Yeah, Waterford, they scored 127, which was what, the third highest score of the weekend. I mean, it would have won most games. Is that a cause of some bit of concern for Cork, or was that just the way the game went that they were able to get those scores?
It'd win you most games, wouldn't it? It probably would. I suppose it probably must be a concern for Cork. I think what it does show is it probably highlights the big failing that Cork probably have, is that, like, you know, they're going to score a lot, but unfortunately they have been conceding a lot, you know, in a lot of years. And when Cork play, especially down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, it tends to be very open. I think there was a Cork tip game last year, I think it was the league. I thought it was crap, to be honest, which I know it was a real high scoring game. And people were blowing about the scoring, but I just thought like, oh Christ almighty, like, there's nothing to this. It's just a game of basketball. And I think that's been the case with Cork for a while. You know, they'll go toe-to-toe with you in that shootout kind of job. So like, that probably is a concern for Cork going forward. But I suppose, that being said, you know, like, when you're in management, you can only try and fix one problem at a time. And I suppose maybe the priority, you know, for the first couple of weeks was maybe sorting out Cork's running game, which seemed to be very much to the point of, you know, occasionally they made mistakes, but they went at it again over the weekend. And that's a good sign in that, you know, if guys are trying to learn a way of playing, or certainly a variety to their play, that, you know, they keep trying to do it. Maybe that was the priority this weekend, the support play aspect. Maybe getting goals was the priority this weekend, you know, which they obviously did. You know, and I suppose that's why you've got an entire league to try and iron out all the kinks. You're not going to fix them all the first day out. But yeah, I suppose it has to be a concern for them, and I'm sure it will be. But equally, that being said, like, I wouldn't be coming down too hard on any management for not fixing all their woes in the first weekend, especially given they've only had 3 weeks training.
Yeah. A couple of players stood out, I suppose, from the Cork perspective. Dara Fitzgibbon, who we're all very aware of, he had a cracking game in the middle of the field. But two were probably of the younger guys. Alan Connolly, who I believe has Cashman blood in him, so I think he's obviously a guy that's well able to hurl. But Shane Barrett, I found, was very impressive at the weekend. He's one to look forward to seeing more of.
Yeah, I think I was actually told it worked on Tuesday there. I think Connolly's mam is a Cashman. So I'm sure, yeah, there's good breeding there, as they say. No, listen, Alan has been very impressive the last couple of years. It's only two years ago that he was playing for Blackrock's second team as a young fella, playing intermediate championship against our own lads at home, and was very, very impressive there, and I suppose has gone from strength to strength, was excellent for Blackrock in the county championship last year, and has rightly gotten his go on the back of that and good performances for the under 20s, you know. So I suppose that's a good sign for Cork that they're, you know, that these things are being taken heed of and are being acted on, and then that he's also, you know, going delivering on that. And Shane Barrett, obviously, look, like everyone in Cork is well aware of Shane Barrett for the last number of years. He was a very impressive young player, very impressive with CBC in the school in the Harty. And you know, he will be a big player. It's funny though, like I think impressive and all as he was, like there's every chance that he may not actually start the next day, you know, because you know you're looking at the likes of Shane Kingston, Alan Connolly, who did so well. But I think it's a great problem for Cork to have. I think in years gone by, there was a little bit too much dependence on Patrick Horgan and on Alan Cadigan, we'll say. And if the two boys weren't scoring, then Cork were at nothing. Like, and if they can lift that scoring burden a small bit off Hoggy, to let him just play his own game and not feel like he has to score 3-7 or 3-8 every day he goes out, then that can only be a good thing. A couple of young performers were very impressive for Cork. And, you know, like that bodes well for them going forward because, you know, obviously Tipp beat Cork in those two under 20, in the under 21 and under 20 finals 2 years in a row. But I think when you're looking at developments of teams and that, what's more important is that you're getting those four or five games in the championship, and then who wins and loses the All-Ireland final itself is just nice for the players involved in terms of to have their medal or to not. But in terms of as an overall development point of view, you know, the players are clearly there, you know, same as, you know, less, no more than in Tipp, I suppose, you know, it's just when the lads are getting that exposure at that age, it's great. So, you know, hopefully they'll be able to bring through a few more of them lads as well.
Yeah, so looking forward to Saturday evening. Cork are coming to Turles, as we said. I suppose we played Limerick last weekend, a different type of team. What should we expect from Cork this weekend, without giving away the game plan, if you know it? But I suppose Limerick are not a goal-scoring team, whereas Cork looked like they have that knack of scoring goals. Is that something that we should be wary of Saturday night?
Look, I certainly haven't been given the game plan. I don't think I will be. But I know, look, to be honest with you, I think I'd be spoofing if I tried to come down very definitively hard and fast on what to expect on Saturday. I mean, like, you could see wholesale changes again on Saturday. Like, I think, you know, you've got a 6-day turnaround. You've got guys who've only got 3 weeks collective training. You know, with amateur athletes, which is what ultimately they are, as elite and all as they are, I think, you know, every management team is going to have to, you know, use their squad over the course of the league, because I think the most important thing, like I mentioned on TG Cahir Sunday, that I think the real winners in the league are going to be whatever management team can kind of develop their style, get their players through without getting injured, and, you know, maybe pick up a few learnings along the way. But like, I don't think the results are going to be the be-all and end-all. So it's very hard to say, you know, what to expect from Cork on Saturday. I think, look, anyone watching the game the last day will see that there's definitely been a renewed emphasis on support play in the running game. I think that was pretty plain for all to see. I don't think I'm giving away any state secrets there. So I think that's probably something to see, you know. Do Cork double down on that? Is that, you know, something that they're going to try and develop as part of a wider game plan and more varied game plan, and kind of where they go from there? But equally, you know, no more than Tipp and Limerick played last weekend, and, you know, I think Limerick had a team on the bench that would challenge for an All-Ireland, and Tipp had similar, you know, four or five very big players not playing. They could all be playing this weekend. You could have three or four of them Cork players. This could be the weekend where they don't feature. So it's very, very hard to say this early on, and especially this year, given that, you know, any management team that is worth their salt, and certainly any strength and conditioning and physio and medical team are going to be, you know, they're going to be monitoring what guys do, and they're going to be rotating it, and they're going to be kind of, you know, trying to get the most out of the league and cause the least damage to their players. So to be honest, to say with any degree of certainty what to expect, I'd be kind of, I think I'd be bluffing. So yeah. I'm not gonna do that.
We're talking about damage to players. How much of a loss do you think Brian O'Mara is to Tipperary? Have you come across him in the Fitzgibbon?
Yeah, big time. Yeah, Brian was very impressive for UL last year. In his first year playing Fitzgibbon as well. Like, he was only a second year last year playing. And he was very, very impressive for the Tip 20s at centre back. I think, you know, like, it's like that. Look, like, at the risk of repeating myself, I think the biggest loss for Tip with Brian is you know, that you're probably missing out on getting a chance to develop the player that would have been the most promising to add into a half back line. You know, I think the Tip back line probably needs one or two maybe thrown in. I wouldn't be just for throwing fellas into the deep end, but certainly they might need a small bit of freshening up. I don't think they need flipping wholesale changes or anything like that. But, you know, I think always a body or two going in. You know, I think you saw with Kilkenny's team that won the four in a row, like, you know, there's always one or two bodies going in. So by the end of the cycle of four in a row, there might be six or seven different players, but every year to year, it might only be two. So I think that's the biggest loss really for Tip is, for my money, Brian was probably the one that you'd say, yeah, he'd be a nice little addition to that team at six or seven, depending on the matchups on a given day, and getting to test him out and getting to give him senior games would have been a big benefit to Tip. I mean, realistically, you know, even if it's only a 6 or 7 week injury, then it's hard to see how he'd end up in the white heat of championship, you know, without that league campaign. So I think that's the real loss of Brian, is that you're losing out on getting to see, is he the man to kind of just freshen things up a small bit. But, you know, so I suppose that's probably how big a loss he is. But again, like, look, I mean, that's the kind of injury that the contact injuries are the kind of things that, you know, all the wrestling in the world and all the rotations in the world, you can't help. They're just unfortunately a part and parcel of the game. And obviously, hopefully Brian makes a quick recovery.
I was going to say, speaking of another Brian thrown into, well, a fairly new face thrown into the Tip defence was Brian McGrath. But there seems to be still a little bit of confusion over where is best to play him. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I'd probably be the same with everyone else, Marissa, in that I probably don't know where Brian's best position is either. You know, I think what Brian does very, very well, he does really well in terms of he's very strong under dropping ball, and he's very smart under as well. You know, he's not massive, massive tall, but he's very good at dealing with fellas who, you know, you think would be stronger than him in the air. So that's probably his, what you might call his biggest strength, I suppose. You know, again, I think then, you know, on the turn, it just remains to be seen whether inter-county level, whether he's quick enough for it or not. I'd always be wary of making any judgments on those things from the outside, because, you know, you never really know. I think it was Man United there 2-3 years ago, Lukaku put up their running stats where he was like the fastest over a certain amount of time and everyone was there calling him slow. So I think when you're on the outside, you're not really in a position to be massively critical, but I suppose it does, you know, that question of position is probably the big question with Brian. Like, is he going to be central? Is he going to be on the wing? And can he get a run of games in one of those positions to stake a claim, you know? And I suppose that's for Liam Sheedy and the lads to kind of make their call on.
Yeah, we had Lauren Guilfoyle on there a couple of weeks ago, and she spoke about rotation of players and how we, like, teams are going to have to be manage the workload of the players, as you've already spoken about. Is there any new players within the Cork panel that we haven't seen yet that are worth a shout, in your opinion?
Yeah, there's one lad, you might have seen him under 20 last year. His name is Kieran Joyce. He's from Castle Martyr. He's to me, you know, he's the next big thing in Cork. Like, without trying to blow him up too much, I think he's just fantastic. I think he's an excellent player, but we won't see him for the league, unfortunately, as he's only doing his leaving cert. So that is, I don't know how young he is. He's only a kid, but he's probably just the one. Like, when you say it, I can't think of any other name off the top of my head. He's the one that really jumps out. Looking at the under 20s last year, I mean, two guys that I would like to see at some point over the next couple of years, if not, you know, not necessarily this year, are Colin O'Brien and Brian Hayes, but I'm not sure if Hayes might be playing football or not. But they're kind of the kind of player I think that Cork could do with, that bring a bit of size and strength and power to that forward line. I mean, you look at kind of the way hurling is going, you do, you know, look at probably two of the most effective players in the All-Ireland Championship last year were Gerard Hegarty and Tom Morrissey. So, you know, so like that kind of balance to your forward line is very important. But no, look, like, you know, like I said, no, if there was a gun to my head, I'd have to pick Ciarán Joyce. I just think he had an exceptional year last year at club level. It's only intermediate hurling, but he was an 18-year-old playing adult hurling at centre back, and he was dominant at the grade, and probably the dominant player in the grade, which is a great mark of a young fella. You know, it's not just at underage hurling that he can do it, and then at under 20 he was really, really good at centre back. Again, you know, it was only his first year out of minor, so like, you know, being an under 18 playing centre back in an under 20 team is quite impressive, and he was very impressive in that team that got to the All-Ireland final. So he'd be the one to watch for me. Be nice to see how he gets on over the summer. They'll have the under 20 final in July, and you know, hopefully after the Leaving Cert he might get a bit of a run, and maybe might threaten the team. Who knows? It might just be a year for him to learn the ropes as well, though. But I think certainly going forward he's going to be a big player for Cork.
Very good. Sunday night, Don Logue was on the Sunday game, or he said that Cork can win the All Ireland. Is that a statement you can agree with? Have you that confidence that Don Logue has?
I don't know. I didn't see that. No, I think I was watching reruns of The Wire. No, I had my fill of GA on Sunday. I was inside in Parking Police since 8:30 in the morning, so when I got home, now it was reruns of The Wire, and I've seen enough hurling over the weekend. Look, I don't know if Cork can win the All-Ireland this year. I think look, it's like anything. There are players there, obviously, and they have had talent over the last number of years at this given level at UCC, at under 20 and under 21 level. Like we said, you know, like this is their third under 20 final in a row, or, well, you know, we'll say under 21, under 20 and under 20. So like that's a nice barometer of caliber of players coming. I would probably say it could be another year or two. Personally, I find it quite hard to look too far beyond Limerick for the next year anyway. It's just hard to see where someone's going to be able to shut down everything they have, you know. They have it from every angle at the moment. They just seem a small bit ahead of the chasing pack. Now, invariably, you know, they'll probably come back a small bit over the course of the next 2 or 3 years. I don't think that anyone is that far away from them that they're going to do what Kilkenny did, you know. But I do think they are probably just a small bit ahead of everyone at the moment. I think this year is probably a bit soon for Cork. But you never know, like there's, you know, the kind of championship that, you know, that it's going to be, it, you know, you kind of, you're not in a, you, like, look, at the start of 2013, I would have laughed at you if you said Cork could win in All-Ireland and they were 20 seconds away from doing it, you know. So like the way that the GA can go, especially with the more knockout nature of it this year, who knows? But I would probably be, I think if that was the phrase that was used, that Cork could win in All-Ireland, I think, yeah, fair enough, you could agree with that, because that's not pinning your colours over it to the mast. I think realistically there are 6 teams probably think they could win in All-Ireland, you know. But ultimately, if I was going into Paddy Power's or anywhere like that in the morning, I'd probably keep my money in my pocket before I bet on anyone else, really, to be honest, other than the lads in Limerick at the moment.
So obviously Cork have Limerick in the first round or the semi-final of Munster. Mm-hmm. Was that the worst possible draw, do you think, or is it good to try and get Limerick, I suppose, the first day out? And you invariably have given them a lot of trouble over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it's funny, Cork have matched up quite well to Limerick over the last couple of years, and I've tried to put my finger on it. Sometimes I think maybe it's just the fact that Cork have an awful lot of pace, you know, which means that, you know, when they play Limerick in Parky Cueve or in the Gaelic grounds, which are big wide open pitches, or else Croke Park, that they match up okay to them. You know, they don't get athletically they don't get ran over anyway. Now physically they may be another story, because I think Limerick have gone, even since 2018, I think Limerick have gone to another level physically, so that one remains to be seen. You know, look, you could say it's the worst possible draw. They are the best, in my opinion, they're the best team in Ireland right now, pound for pound. I don't think that's insulting anyone to say. But then you could say it's the best possible draw, because, you know, even if they beat you, you probably learn a lot from that. and you're not knocked out, you know, you go into the qualifiers and you probably don't meet them again to the quarter final or maybe even a semi final, you know. Well, you know, if they win, you won't meet them to the semi final, worst case scenario. Like, so I suppose, look, you're going to frame it whatever way you want. Obviously, Cork are going to fancy themselves to go and win that game. They wouldn't be Cork hurlers if they didn't, you know. So, but yeah, look, like, it's a tough draw, but, you know, Jesus, like, that being said, like, there's not really too many soft draws, you know, in it at the moment. You know, there's only the 10 or 12 teams kind of there, and, like, you know, like, if you get any of them, like, on the first, if you get any of that first eight, realistically, you're going to have a tough day out. So I wouldn't say it is a worst possible draw by any means. I think fair enough, if it was like the football championship and it was straight knockout, I'd probably say it was the worst possible draw. But no, I think, look, like, if they win it, they'll take an awful lot from that. If they lose it, I think they could take an awful lot from that, and you wouldn't know, you know, like, it wouldn't be the first time a team was beaten in the first round and went on to win an All Ireland, you know.
2010.
Yes, that was what I was thinking. Yeah, when Cork won you the All Ireland by playing Isaac in full forward line.
That's it. Yeah. So look, you spoke about, I suppose, difference in styles when talking about Cork and Limerick. But Limerick obviously are the standard bearers, and they are that big physical team. Is that what teams should look to replicate, or should Cork and Tip, I suppose, stay going the way they are going in their style of play?
A little from column A, a little from column B. Like, I think you certainly have to match them in certain elements, and if you don't, you're going to be beaten. But by the same token, there's 10 years work got into Limerick being the way they are, you know, in terms of physically. So if you're trying to match them now, like, it's not actually at senior level you need to start trying to match them. It's at you know, it's at academy level, it's at minor, it's at 21s, it's those kind of structures. In the short term, you know, in the short term, like I think, to be honest, not even in the short term, I think you are better stylistically, you know, not going trying to ape anyone, but, you know, you obviously have to, that being said, you have to take elements of their game and be kind of conscious of that, and, you know, certain things they do are best practice, and best practice is best practice. But, like, you know, when Kilkenny were winning All Ireland's hand over fist, they were winning them with a certain style, and, you know, if Cork or Tip tried to go for that, you know, that kind of style, they'd have just been destroyed by Kilkenny at playing it. You know, they had to figure out a different way. For Cork, for 2 or 3 years, it was the run game that beat Kilkenny for 2 or 3 years before that Kilkenny team got to grips with it. For Tip, I'd probably call it more of a kind of a mid-range game in terms of their stick work. They kind of, you know, they tend to use the ball 40, 50 yards rather than, you know, not 10, 15 yards, but equally not 70, 80 yards, you know. Well, with some exceptions, some lads are right up the shoulders and let it rip. But, you know, like, I think, you know, a lot of counties tend to have their style that seems to work for them. And I think there's a very good reason why that tends to be identified as their style. And I think it's more about, you know, on the physical side of things, you do have to probably get up to speed to, at the very least, whether or not you beat them physically, like, you have to be able to kind of, you know, at the very least try and not get beaten by it, you know. And then, but, like, I mean, like, all of this, like, we're talking about the physical side of Limerick and that, like, but, I mean, like, they played the best hurling the last 2 years as well, you know. And if they want to play the ball in tight spaces, they play in tight spaces. They've probably got the most varied game in that, like, they run the ball a lot, but then very often Dermot Burns just plants one from his own 45 on top of Aaron Gillan on the edge of the square, like, and it's a goal. You know, funny enough, that being said, I think that was probably, you know, a huge thing that the game was missing on Saturday between Limerick and Tip. I think the outball of Gillan was probably a big hindrance to Limerick in that game against Tip, because it took that variety out of their game, you know. It meant that Tip could just go man on man for a finish, like, whereas in, you know, we'd say last year, like, or in other years, like, when Gillan plonks himself on the edge of the square and you're trying to deal with that, you're like, right, if I go one-on-one there, what, and try to match up with Limerick while they run the ball, if Dermot Burns lands a one-on, you know, like, Burns loves that ball to the far side to Gillan, like, you saw it 4 or 5 times last year, and invariably, like, if he gets 3, he'll catch one, and that's a goal, you know. And, like, that, it's that variety, he brings that variety to Limerick's game. So, I think, you know, we can talk about their physicality and all those things, and that is all fine. But at the moment, they have the most varied game. It's the hardest game to put a definitive style on, you know, when they do run the ball Like, they have elements of that. They do play short. They do take points from distance, but they also have that threat, you know, for a long ball when Gillan and Co are playing. Like, so, yeah, no, look, I probably would say that you're at nothing trying to totally ape their style. It's their style. It's what, you know, that's their best at. I think the best chance you have really is to develop.
Control, yeah.
To develop your style to the point where they have to kind of deal with you, you know, because they, at the moment, they play the game on their terms. And if you try to play the game on their terms, you'll be beaten. You know, so I think that's the kind of, no, it's easier said than done. I'm glad I'm not trying to do it for anyone at the moment.
Absolutely. Just before we finish up, Jamie, you're obviously intrinsically involved in Fitzgibbon Cup and have a great knowledge of that. How important do you think that Fitzgibbon is in the development of hurlers, I suppose, now, especially with the 21 gone back to 20?
Yeah, massive, to be honest. Like, with that and with the physicality of the game now, I think having that little extra step for guys on the ladder is huge. Like, and obviously, look, like, I'm obviously going to say that, like, you know, you don't see turkeys voting for Christmas, like, but by the same token, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, there's occasionally players that'll make the step at 2021, that's fine, but there's a lot more need another year or two to 22-23. You know, and the Fitzgibbon Cup is a nice blend of, you know, the under 20s can be very nice hurling. It can be very naive hurling. There can be, you know, the ball is flying around usually in the middle of the summer. And it's a very quick game. The Fitzgibbon is probably the opposite of that. It's a far more physical game. You know, there's a lot more in terms of the physicality. But, you know, if you watch hurling in the last 4 or 5 years at senior to county level, it needs to be a bit of both, you know. So I think that extra step on the learning ladder is very useful to a lot of players, and it helps them make that step. And like you said, especially with the under 21 grade going to under 20, you know, like there is nothing quite like, there's nothing quite like an extra 12 months or 24 months for, you know, from, no matter all the gym work you can do, for a guy to grow into himself and his physicality and that. And I think the Fitzgibbon provides a really nice in between platform for guys and to make that step up. So yeah, look, obviously I'm going to say that I'm really hopeful it will be back next year. But that being said as well, like, look, Jesus, like the more important thing is that people are healthy and safe and all that. And if we can get that stuff all sorted, then, you know, it'll be great to have it back, please God, around next February and roll on a few battles with Carlo inside in the mud or UL or whoever we draw.
Yeah. Jamie Wall, it was a pleasure to have you on the Premier View. We hope you go home disappointed on Saturday evening anyway. But look, we'll have our battles again in the future. Thanks again.
It's merchmonster.ie.
So Sean Smith from Turles Sarsfield joins us there now as we have a look forward to Tip at the weekend. Sean, Tip drew obviously with Limerick last weekend. You were on the review show. What are you expecting for Tip this weekend?
I was hoping to kind of bring the same kind of good game plan, to be honest, the same kind of intensity to it again. But then again, I'd be hoping for a few new lads in the forwards, maybe to see, kind of come in and create a few more scoring chances. But Brian O'Marish obviously is out, and like one or two more changes. No, there will be a few rotations, but the same kind of their attitude, I think, was good. Intensity was good, you know, some direct hurling and stuff. But the other end of the field, the scoring side is probably where it's lacking. But you know, there is something to start on, which is very promising, to be fair. And Cork will, what we saw from Cork and Waterford, they're going to run at you. So, and if our backs can hold up like they did against Limerick, they won't get through. To be honest, it's easy.
Yeah, just mentioning Brian O'Mara there, Marissa, you were asking Jamie Wall about Brian, and he obviously has great time for him, but he was looking like somebody that was certainly going to push towards a certain 15 or certainly the match day 26. But who do you think will come in instead of him at this stage?
It's hard to know what they're going to risk at this stage, so early into the league, when so many games back to back, and then you're heading straight into championship. It's hard to know who to risk at this stage, especially when you're coming up against a physical side like Cork. I thought Seamus Kennedy did really well the last day as well. So it's hard to know how to switch around that defence, and who do you introduce back in? Do you bring back in Pádraig Maher to start this early? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I'd prefer to stick with some of the young fellas, give them a chance first, and we'll see where we go from there.
Yeah. Craig Morgan is obviously another one, and Paddy Cadell, who can play in the half-back line they would be good additions too. But Sean, I was saying to Jamie there that Tip kind of picked the horses for Courses team last weekend with four very much workhorses in the forward line. Do you think we'll see a change due to the style that Cork play this weekend? We might have more scoring forward. We might see a glimpse of John McGrath, maybe Bubbles with his newfound shape might be in the starting 15.
Yeah, for sure. Like against Limerick, our thing was to stop their half-back line dominating them. We did that like with the half-forward line we picked. But Cork, that's not exactly a prominent line to field. So as you said, I'd like to see a kind of Bubbles in and the show he's made of John McGrath as well. But then again, like there's no point dropping lads either this year to give them another go and start, like, because no, at the end of the day, like Bubbles and the John McGrath, like if they find a form like they always have, there's no reason why come knock with her and they won't be starting.
Yeah. Marissa, Jake Morris was obviously started last weekend. I'd like to see him probably play again, even though he's probably considered a starter now, but he probably needs to find a bit of form. He missed a goal chance, well, I suppose half a chance there in the game against Limerick. But Morris is a person that probably needs game time, doesn't he, to build a bit of form, build a bit of confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. I think confidence is the key word there. He had so much of it at the end of 2019, and it probably, you know, lost that a bit because of the break in 2020, understandably. We can see what he does. He has his eye on goal the whole time, probably just mishit it straight at the goalkeeper the last day. Not too much of a trouble for Nicky Quaid. But, you know, we know what he brings. And as you say, he is a starter now. I expect him to stay there. Probably need, you know, scoring wasn't great the last day, as we've already touched upon. Some not so clever shot choices probably from far out. But someone like Jake Morris, he was our only goal threat the last day, and that's something we need to keep against Cork.
Yeah, in the middle of the field, Sean, Michael Breen. I think he spoke about him in the review show that he's so inconsistent, I suppose, and that's something that he needs to work on. So do you leave him there and like I suppose Jake, hope that he comes into a bit of form, or how long can we stay looking at him, not knowing what he's going to give you from one day to the next?
It'd be kind of similar to Jake there, like, and wouldn't just get rid of him. No point in dropping this game. Like he has it, like as Miss said earlier about Jake, he's our threat. Like Breen going forward can be a huge threat. He can get 4 or 5 points and the going is good for him. But then there's likes of Paddy Kelly and these guys biting at the bit, to be honest, to get in and get around that half back in midfield as well. So there is like competition going to be there. So I'd be starting him again and against Cork, because especially against Cork, if Breen run at him, there'll be space, will open up. Limerick half back line, which won't be as strong as maybe the Cork half back line, so the space could be there for Breen.
Yeah. Another new man that was in last weekend was the goalkeeper, Barry Hogan from Killadangan. Your own club mate, Marissa, Brian Hogan, are we going to see him, do you think? Or what way will do you think Sheedy will manage the goalkeeping situation? He obviously wants Barry Hogan to get some time, but at the same time, doesn't want Brian to be going into Championship without any minutes under his belt either.
I think, like the rest of the lads, there's no point in dropping Barry at the moment. You know, he had a really, really good campaign with Kildangan. We know what he's capable of. He just needs that inter-county time. I've seen him at Fitzgibbon level as well. You know, he has a little bit of experience under his belt. I thought he had a really decent game the last day. We know what he can do. Brian, you know what you're going to get with Brian Hogan at the moment. So I think you might as well keep someone like Barry in for the start of the league, where you have more of a chance to play around with. Look, this league isn't going to be the be-all and end-all. There's no overall winner. There's no knockout stage. So it's about, we need a number two to Brian at this stage, and Barry needs that time to establish himself in that role.
Yeah. Jamie Wall was telling us, Sean, about the subs that Cork brought on to finish off the game, and they really added a bit of impetus to their game. They'll probably employ the same tactic again this weekend. Are we going to have to see the likes of Paddy, Noel, John, if they don't start coming on to stem the tide maybe this weekend, or should Liam, knowing what those guys are going to give you, just give them the week off again?
hard to know. Like Waterford were kind of on the ropes. There were 6-7 points in it. Cork on them lads, it was a killer punch. It was just, they ran clean through them, you know. I can't, to be honest, I can't see Cork getting that 6 or 7 points ahead of us, to be honest. And what we've seen last Saturday, anyway, defensively wise, they're strong, but I'd like to be seen as getting up around the 25, 26 point mark and doubling our score from player for sure, which is the main thing. But I wouldn't be bringing on the artillery on it or ignore like them lads. You know what you're getting with them, like, to be honest. There's no mishaps. Unless you might start, I feel you might start Parry, to be honest. I kind of have a maybe no, but Parry, I think, might start, to be honest.
That's what do you know, Smith? What do you know?
Not a lot. He's a man that, Parry's not a man that's missed 2 games in a row since I don't know when.
Yeah, so so obviously the team is going to be named on Friday night, and again there'll be a lot of speculation until that time comes, and the game throws in at 7:30 on Saturday evening in the stadium. So hopefully we'll get to 2 points. Also on Saturday, Marissa, the Camogie are out against Cork too. We've been very close to it. We were in a National League final last year that didn't get played. We were in the semi final of the championship last year as well. So Cork is going to be a big test for the girls. We have three all-stars after last year. But a tough group with Waterford as well. But Cork will be one that they'll want to try and get 2 points in to start the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a really exciting year for Bill Maloney's side, just based on what we saw last year. You know, as you said, they are qualified for the league final with wins over Dublin, Limerick and Galway, who eventually went on to win the championship, as we know. And then, you know, it was good to see when they came back for a championship that they carried that form in. There wasn't a major drop off and they had some really tough games, including one against Waterford. And it was great to see them being able to grind out that quarterfinal win. So, as you say, tough group, really tough place to start against Cork. It's hard to know where they are. They lost Gemma O'Connor to retirement, but they still have a lot of artillery fire up front. So it's going to be a difficult challenge, especially heading down to Páirc Uí Chaoimh. But it'll be a really good test to see where they are on the back of 2020. And hopefully they'll have gotten a lot of confidence from last season.
Yeah, so we're going into that game without Orla Dwyer and Aisling Maloney, I believe, who has just committed to football, I think, this year. Orla obviously is still on the back of her, celebrating her great win down in Australia, and I don't think he's home yet. But she'll be a huge loss, obviously. She's a complete athlete. But hopefully she'll be back for the championship.
Yeah, Orla brings a massive amount of physicality from the football, from the professional setup as well. So she will be a huge loss, but, you know, tip of plenty more fire in them as well. So there's no better way to test yourself than against a team like Cork. So we'll see where they stand.
Yeah. Sean, one of your own club mates, I was talking to Noel Dundon earlier on, and we were talking about Karen Kendi. She's absolutely brilliant this year. Or last year, and looks to be one of, if not Tip's best player at the moment. Centre-back or midfield, what would you consider to be her best position?
I think centre-back anyway from Karen. To be honest, she'd make our senior team over the male team. To be honest, she's a complete athlete. To be honest, one of the, I never saying like her round anyway. So I'd have her centre-back and build a team around her. To be honest, it's, I know I'm kind of biased here, but... Because rarely we have ones like that good, to be honest. So we as enjoy them while we have them.
Yeah. Very good. So look, that game throws in at 2 o'clock on Saturday, and hopefully they will do the double over Cork at the weekend.
It's merchmonster.ie.
Well, that's all we have time for this week on the Premier View Tipperary GA podcast. Thanks again to our guests Anthony Shelley, Noel Dundon and Jamie Wall, as well as our own Sean Smith and Marissa Kennedy. We're going to play you out with our own Marty Ryan's version of the Galway Mountain Boy, which we might just make as our new intro.